Psalm 12 to begin with this morning. Psalm 12. Sorry, it's a little hot in here. Trying to cool it down a little bit. Weird time of year because it's hot. I mean, it's cold when you first come in, and then it gets hot. So let's look at Psalm 12 this morning, and I want to read a verse of Scripture here. If you'll let me, I need your attention this morning. It's going to be a little bit different than what I normally do. So everybody, please give me attention. Psalm 12, and we'll look this morning at verse number 6. Psalm 12 and verse number 6. Psalm 12 and verse number 6. The words, plural, see that? The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. There is a promise that God would keep His words and preserve them to every generation. You listen? I want to preach this morning on the subject, the world's greatest book. The world's greatest book this morning is your Bible, in particular, the King James Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. I did not say the Bible was the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. The liberals this morning are arguing over inspiration, and the conservatives, that's what they call conservatives, are arguing over preservation. We as Bible believers are way over on the right side of that. And we believe that God preserved His Word to the English-speaking people in a King James Bible. I want you to look with me this morning, and we're going to learn some things about the Bible. You're going to learn some things about the Bible maybe you've never heard or learned before, but you got to give me your attention. If you went to most Bible colleges this morning, 95%, I'd say, if you went to most churches in anywhere in the United States and looked at their statement of faith, or doctrinal statement, it would say, we believe the Bible was inspired in the original manuscripts. That's past tense. That believes that they believe there was an inspired original manuscript sometime back yonder somewhere, and all we have now is reliable or unreliable, depending on which Bible teacher you listen to, copies of that Bible. There's other Bible churches. Most churches in this area would say, we believe the Bible. We believe the Bible. Without telling you which Bible they're talking about. Man can stand up and say, we believe the Bible, the Word of God. But he don't believe that when he's holding his hands. He believes an unknown, unread, undiscovered original manuscript that nobody in this world has ever seen. There has never been anybody in our generation that has seen the original manuscripts. So I want to talk about that for a little while this morning and try to bring you the message by the help of the Lord. Now I will show you by way of introduction this morning how we got our Bible. Basically, a little quick history lesson. Our Bible, as we know, have it this morning in its form, came from a set of manuscripts that we call this. We call this Textus Receptus. And so they done words backwards then. And what that means is receive. See how that looks like receive? Text. You know what that means? Receive text. That's where your King James Bible come from. It's translated from the received text. And that means that was the common text used by the common people in that day. That's the God-honored Syrian type text from Syria in the Word of God. The old Koine Greek. Koine Greek means the language of the people, common people. And the Bible said that common people heard Jesus gladly. That line of Bibles includes the old Syriac of 200, the old Latin of 300 A.D., Martin Luther's Bible, Erasmus, Stephanus, these are all Greek scholars in Greek, William Tyndale, who was the greatest man probably in the English language that got the Bible to us that we could understand, who was burned at the stake for trying to get us the Bible in our language. And old William Tyndale, God used him to get that Bible out there, and he said this. He said, I want there to be a time when the average plowboy out here in the field knows as much Bible as the Pope in Rome. And that day came, ladies and gentlemen. It sure did. And they burned him at the stake, and they tied him to the stake and burned him to death. And William Tyndale was burning for the Bible, quite different from the modern day translators that make money off of theirs. William Tyndale was burning, and he screamed at the top of his lungs. The last thing he said before he died was, Lord, open the King of England's eyes. That was King James. As a matter of fact, though King James, let me tell you a little bit about him. First, let me tell you about the other line of manuscripts. They're Alexandrian manuscripts or Roman manuscripts. The Roman manuscripts include Philo, Clement of Rome, Constantine, Augustine, the old Vulgate, Latin Vulgate, the Douay Rheims Bible, and the Catholic Bible. All right, the Alexandrian line includes Origen. That's a weird name for a guy like that. Theodotion, Griesbach, Tischendorf, the RV translation of 1885, Nestle's, and what we call Westcott and Hort Greek text. Now, if that don't make no sense to you, just keep listening to me for a minute. All the new modern versions of the Bible that you see in the bookstore come from them two manuscripts. Vaticanus. What does that look like without that U.S. on there? Vatican. That was it was a manuscript discovered over in the Vatican. And Sinaiticus. See, that looks like Sinai. And I see that sin right there. That's sort of weird, isn't it? And cuss. But anyway, that's not really what them words mean. But it'll make you do that before you get through with it. And I'm going to say this morning that our King James Bible comes from this line of manuscripts right here. That's where you come from. Now, when you go to a bookstore, you go hear a preacher preach, and he said, now, we use the NIV, or we use the ASV, and you say, well, what's the difference in my Bible and that Bible? They're going to say this. They're going to say, well, all this does is changes the these and the thous, and it makes it easier to understand. Well, that's not exactly right, friend. Did you know the word hell is in your King James Bible about 71 times, something like that? 53 times the word hell. You know how many times it's in the NIV? 14. And none of them's in the Old Testament. Now, let me ask you something. You go out there, you know what they call it? Sheol, Tartarus, Gehenna, in the Old Testament. Those are the words it uses for hell. Go out there on the streets of Morganton and ask anybody out there if they know what Tartarus means. Ask them if they know what Gehenna means. Ask them if they know what Sheol means. They don't know. Say, you know what hell is? Oh yeah, I know what hell is. Now, which one's easy to understand? That right there. That's right. And this Bible right here makes it easier to understand. I'm going to show you there's not just a difference in the these and thou. There is a definite difference in the translating mode, doctrine, and everything. So you just hang with me for a little while this morning. It's raining, you ain't got nowhere else to go. So you just lend me your ear, please. And I want to give you some things here, right here from the Word of God. Old King James of England, buddy, that old boy got up and he did not translate the Bible. King James didn't translate the Bible. He was simply the king, James the First, that gave the order in 1604 for there to be a English translation of the Bible. He appointed something a little over 50 scholars to take care of it. They were divided up into six groups. Each one of those groups took portions of the Old Testament and New Testament and worked on them. So that way, one person or one group of people couldn't have their finger in the Bible. They took it serious. They were ready to die for what they were doing. They weren't like sitting in an office with a Coke machine trying to make the Bible cool so the hippies would like it and make money off a new translation. They were giving their life for what they were translating and what they were doing. The text of the King James Bible I found as far back as 90 A.D. And I want to say this morning that King James Bible is the most hated. It is the most loved. It is the most read. It is the most memorized. It is the most distributed. It is the most purchased. It is the most controversial, the most powerful, and the most amazing book this world has ever seen. You know how many copies of that thing went out? Over 1 billion. I mean, the other books can't even come close. You know, that King James Bible is the only book you'll ever find that does not have a copyright in the front. Check your King James Bible. There's no copyright. You might have a certain one that has notes in it, like Scofield notes or Thompson Chain or something, that has a copyright, but there's no copyright on that Bible. Did you know that all the modern versions of the Bible, these down here I've listed, and the New American Standard, right, Revised Standard Version, New World Translation, that's the Jehovah's Witness Bible, and the Living Bible, and the Living Epistles, and Good News for Modern Man, and all the rest of them, they all have a copyright. This one right here has no copyright. I want to say this morning, it's the world's greatest book. Let me say just a little, just by way of history. Paul told Timothy, he said, Timothy, preach the word. He said, Timothy, preach the word. Timothy, preach the word. Ladies and gentlemen, Timothy did not have the original manuscripts of Moses and Daniel and Elias and all those other guys in the Old Testament. Timothy did not have the original manuscripts. Timothy had copies of copies of copies of copies of copies. The reason that these manuscripts flourished in, because somebody discovered them in 1880. And what, here's what happened. Up till 1600, 1700, 1800, everybody in the English-speaking world, and Matt believed that book right there. Everybody in America believed there was one Bible. There's only one Bible. Now come on, you tell me. Don't it make better sense that everybody's Bible says the same thing? I mean, if another man's got a Bible says this, another man's got a Bible says that, which one's right? You say, well, they really don't. You just hold on, say, if you ain't done your homework. That right there, we believed for 300 years before these ever popped up. And somebody was fooling around in the Vatican, and somebody was fooling around in an old, catacombs and all them old things, them holes in them everywhere where they went in there. It's a home for unwed fathers. They put them in there. Somebody's fooling around in there, and they found them things. And you know what they done? They said, these are older. This manuscript is older than that one, so it goes back further, and therefore must be more accurate. But the truth is, the reason these manuscripts were older than them is because they used these so much they wore them out, copied them, wore them out, copied them, wore them out, copied them, and nobody used them. They put them in a shelf. They found one in the trash can. And all the new modern versions of the Bible were taken from a set of manuscripts because the scholars of that day believed since they're older, they must be more accurate. Now, here's the problem this morning. Just because something's older don't mean it's more accurate. The reason it was older, nobody fooled with them. You leave a book laying on the shelf for 50 years, you can pull it out and still read it. But if you use it every day, it's going to wear out, and you're going to have to make copies of it. So that's what happened here with the Word of God. So there are lines of Bibles. These new versions are not updates to that. They are translations from an entirely different set of Greek manuscripts than this one comes from. All right? With that introduction, let me move along here this morning. The Bible is no mere book, according to great men, but a living force that conquers everybody that opposes it. I want to say when the world was a Greek-speaking world, God had a Greek-speaking Bible in those days, the New Testament. When the world was a Latin-speaking world, God had a Latin Bible, and that was back in those days when the world spoke Latin. When the world was a German-speaking world, God had a German Bible, Martin Luther. You know what the world speaks this morning? English. English is the dominating language of the world as of now. And that's changing. God has an English-speaking Bible, and it's the King James 1611 Bible. Now, there's some objections, which I'll answer right quick this morning. And you'll have to get this and listen to it over and over and over to get all these. Here's the objections. Here's what people say against our Bible. They say the translators wasn't inspired, and we are crazy old hillbilly fanatics for believing the King James translators were inspired. I don't believe they're inspired. Never have believed that. I believe they were led by God's Spirit. They already had the Bible. It was inspired, and God led them to translate it into our language. They didn't have to be inspired. They were led by God. They said this, objection number two. King James Bible was changed in 1769. You'll hear some guy get on the radio or TV and he'll say, these old nuts in the South, they don't realize that they changed the King James Bible in 1769, and the Bible they have ain't really the 1611, it's the 1769 version. That's misleading and not true at all. You know what they changed in 1769? Spelling of the words. They didn't change the verse. They didn't change the meaning. They changed some spelling. Like music. In the 1611, it was spelled M-U-S-I-C-K. And then they updated it to M-U-S-I-C. Music. It's the same thing. It's just spelling a word different. That's a lot different than the NIV, who leaves out whole verses of Scripture and then changes the meaning of others. Amen? Don't you listen to this crowd. Well, you don't really have the 1611. No, we have the 1611 with the letters changed, the word spelling, not the meaning or the message or the words themselves. Now, somebody else said this. Didn't you know? Somebody told me this one time. They said, didn't you know that there's lost books in the Bible? Well, you got to watch out for that History Channel, that Discovery Channel. They're led by the devil to make you think there ain't no hell and the devil's a boogeyman and somebody else. You got to watch them old specials like that. I don't watch junk like that where they try to tell you that hell's mythology. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ said there was a hell and it's called hellfire. Amen? You know what? The History Channel can go jump and wake as far as I'm concerned. What God, let God be true and every man alive. We'll find out one day if there's a hell. I wouldn't die without God this morning if I was you. I wouldn't take a chance going against what Jesus said. You said, well, don't they realize that that old stuff. One man told me this. He said, did you realize that the King James has lost books of the Bible? And I said, no, God ain't never lost no books. And he said, didn't you realize that the King James Bible had the Apocrypha in it? The Apocrypha is seven books or so that's in the Catholic Bible. That's not in our Bible. And they say, see that? Have you ever heard somebody say, your Bible don't have all the books? That's what they're talking about. Now, the original King James Bible had the Apocrypha in it, but it was stuck between the Testaments with a notation saying it is not part of the inspired canon. Canon, like a gun. Inspired. That's an inspired, accepted Word of God. What does that mean? It means the King James translators knew that the Apocrypha was not the Word of God. That's the Epistle of Barnabas and Judith and Tobit and Balaam the Dragon and a bunch of stuff like that. They try to claim was in the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, God already told us your Bible has 66 books. Apocrypha not included by the book of Isaiah. Did you know the book of Isaiah is a perfect picture of your whole Bible? It has 66 chapters matching the 66 books of the Bible. There is a definite break after chapter 39. Do you know that? Chapter 39 and chapter 40 in Isaiah. Why do I say that? Because 39 represents the 39 books of the Old Testament. 3 times 13, ending with a curse. The last word in the New Old Testament is curse. And then Matthew chapter 1 begins the next book of the Bible. 40 on represents the 27 books of the New Testament. And Isaiah didn't even know there was going to be chapters when he wrote that. So there's 66 books in Isaiah, chapters representing the 66 books of the Bible. And ladies and gentlemen, them 66 books ends, if you don't believe it, read Isaiah 66, with a new heaven and a new earth matching the book of Revelation. The 40th book matches Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. Behold, he said, I come prepare the way of the Lord. John the Baptist. I'm telling you, that was the Lord showing us that the Bible began with Genesis and ended with Malachi in the Old Testament and Revelation in the New Testament. All right? Let me tell you something more practical. Now, you can get more of this if you'll listen. You can get more of this. Do you realize that our English language is shot through with quotations from the King James Bible, and people quote it every day and don't even realize it? It's in our subconscious. It's in our mentality. This nation was built upon the preaching of that book right there. God prospered. How come Canada is right on one side of us and Mexico on the other side of us and neither one of them are a world power and America's right in the middle and got all this? I'll tell you why. Because there's some old leather lung preachers like Whitfield and Charles Finney and all them guys preached that book up and down this country until there was camp meetings and churches all over this nation. That's why God blessed the preaching and teaching of the 1611 King James Bible. And it's in our language. Alright? Our judicial system is shot through with this. You ever listen to anybody that's educated talk beside me? You ever listen to anybody that's educated? I mean, really, has a real one. Education talk. If they're a lawyer, if they're a doctor, if they're a news commentator, they quote the Bible all the time. And a lot of them don't even know it. You want some examples? It's shot through in our political system. Politicians, lawyers. If you got a smart school teacher, they'll use them. And most of them don't even know it's in the Bible. Are you ready? Let me name you off about 30 of these. Put the words in my mouth. That's from Jeremiah. God forbid. They say that on TV all the time. Turn the world upside down. That's a common saying. The powers that be. Lawyers quote that all the time. The powers that be will stop you. Like policemen and stuff. Take root. The blind leading the blind. My brother's keeper. They make movies out of stuff like that. Give up the ghost. He died. Handwriting on the wall. All the time they say, well, that's a handwriting on the wall. You better watch out. Where's that come from? That comes from Daniel. Where that hand, isn't that a weird saying if you don't know where that come from? Somebody says, well, something awful's getting ready to happen. Well, it's a handwriting on the wall. What in the world does that mean? You subconsciously know what it means. Isn't that weird? That's the Holy Ghost in that book. They don't quote the NIV like that. I'm about ready to take a shouting spell. Y'all better hold me down. I'm glad I've got a book. I'm glad I got one that's powerful. I'm glad I got one that's got your number too, buddy. And it'll read your mind while I'm up here preaching. Ain't that right, preacher? Amen. I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen to this. Cast your pearls full of swine. Come out of the Bible. Amen. His day will come. Come out of 1 Samuel 26. People say, well, his day is coming. You hear it a whole lot more in the South than you do in the North. And the reason you don't hear it up North, because the Catholic Church taught them all them years not to read the Bible. You couldn't understand it. But them Southerners, buddy, they got it in them, man. I mean, boy, it's in there, buddy. You ain't going to get it out. A lot of them. Somebody said, I played the fool. He played the fool. That's from 1 Samuel 26. Somebody said, nowadays, 1 Samuel 25. Well, there's a lot of that nowadays. Ain't that something? Little bird told me. That's Ecclesiastes. A bird of the air shall carry the voice. You know who the little bird is? It's a demon. Eat, drink, and be merry. Right out of your book. Holier than thou. Oh, you people are holy. You're quoting the Bible. You must think you're pretty holy. Judge not. Ever drunk, ever homosexual, everybody in the world. Judge not. We're quoting Jesus. You know that, don't you? Peace on earth. That come from the Lord Himself. Letter of the law. We're going to go by the letter of the law. All you people on Fox News talk like that. I'll skip a bunch. Drop in the bucket. Well, that ain't a drop in the bucket. That comes from the Bible. Amen. Wolf in sheep's clothing. Right out of the book. The fat of the land. He lives off the fat of the land. Isn't that a weird saying? Fat land. Reap what you sow. Skin of your teeth. I just got out by the skin of my teeth. That comes up. That's a weird saying. Your teeth don't have skin unless you count that stuff on there. You need to brush them if it has got that much skin. Fast asleep. Come from the book of Judges. Fast asleep. Who would say something like that? Where's so-and-so? He's in there fast asleep. Fast asleep. Fast asleep. Don't sound like two. You'd think if we'd making that up, we'd say he's slow to sleep. It comes out of the Bible. We quote it and don't even know it. Amen? That's right, buddy. I'm telling you what, buddy. Rise and shine. Rise and shine. Right out of the Bible in Isaiah chapter 60. Fair weather. Every day on TV, in the newspaper. He's half dead. Boy, he come out there and he's like killed him. He half killed him. So like that one guy, he's scared. He's, They scared him half to death twice. And killed him. And you know, safe and sound. Safe and sound. You ever heard anybody say, he's safe and sound? Right out of your Bible, Luke chapter 15. Gave him leave. That's a military term. I got leave of absence. Right out of your Bible in John chapter 19. Beware of dogs. It's everywhere in the country. Philippians chapter 1 verse 3. Listen, old wives' fable, 1 Timothy 4. He's half-baked. Got so scared his knees knocked. Daniel chapter 5. It's high time we do. High time. Romans chapter 13. Oh, my darling. Oh, my darling. That's in Psalm 22. We don't see eye to eye. Eye to eye. Isaiah chapter 53. You can go all day long, brother. I'm going to tell you this morning, that old book right there permeates the thinking of our country and this world like no other book. And the nations of the world, whether they like it or not or believe it or not, are controlled, and they're going to go by that right there. All this stuff, you know, that old book right there said hundreds of years ago, the Bible said 2,000 years ago that there'd be two prophets and they'd kill them in the streets of Jerusalem, and all the world, everybody in the world would see them for 3.5 days. People liked when preachers used to preach that. People liked in 1617 to 1800 when preachers said, everybody in the world can see these prophets. Ain't nobody likes now, are they? Well, you know that could happen. All you got to do is put them satellite cameras on there. All over the world, just like that. You know, the New Testament in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4 said in the great tribulation, you know how they'd be killing people? Cutting their heads off. Who would have believed that? You'd think they'd do some modern kind of electric chair, you know, gas chamber, something like that. It said they're cutting their heads off. We see it on the news every time we open it up, turn it on nowadays. The old book comes to pass. Now, take just a minute here this morning. There's a little time out, and let's give you some examples of false doctrine taught in them Bibles. I don't mean to offend you or hurt your feelings. If you have an NIV this morning, this is pushed by most Baptists, Pentecostal, Church of God, most denominations, Presbyterian, Lutheran, most churches push the NIV. Most, not all. Thank God they steal some. Most Baptists do. NIV, New International Version. I want to show you some mistakes, bad mistakes in the NIV. And we don't have time to get into all the other ones, but most of these hold true for every one of those other versions. Now, if you've got one, check it out. And if your preacher uses it, don't want to cause no trouble, but ask him about this. Number one, the plan of salvation. If you want to write this down, look at Acts chapter 8 and verse number 37. Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, when Philip was going up to leave the Ethiopian eunuch to Jesus Christ. And he got up in the chariot with him, and he sat there with him. And old Philip, he preached to him Jesus. And the guy said, what does hinder me to be baptized? He said, we can stop and do it right now, friend, but you got to do something first. And verse 30 said, if thou believe with all thine heart, thou mayest. And they said, verse 37, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Is that verse 37? Somebody tell me. I'm quoting it. Okay, verse 37 there. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There's where he got saved. His confession of faith. He said, I'll do it. He confessed Jesus before men. He believed on Jesus Christ. He got saved right there. Check that verse in the NIV. It's not in there. Not even in there. It goes 34, 35, 36, 38. And leaves the plan of salvation out. Now people hear this on the radio and get mad at me. I didn't write this stuff, buddy. I'm just a preacher. I'm putting the mail in your box. Boy, I got home last night and I had a whole... Kelly got the mail out of the box. Oh, Lord. I hate it when you're gone. You got a stack of bills that high. If you ever go to the doctor, Lord, they'll send you... You'll get bills now and you don't even know who they are, where they are, and claim they're going to get you if you don't pay them. I don't even know what they are. And it's funny that you can't read a doctor's prescription, but you can read that bill, can't you? They make it plain. That plan of salvation is left out in verse number 37. I was in that mail. I'm not going to go down there tomorrow and beat the mailman up. He didn't write it. That's who I am. I'm a mailman. I'm just putting it in your box. If you don't like what it said, take it up with the one that wrote it. Amen. That's like a woman getting mad and smashing the mirror because it shows her wrinkles in her face.
Don't blame it on the mirror, sister. Get you some Bondo. Fill in them cracks. Get you a trowel or something. And smudge it on there. Do something. But it ain't the mirror's fault, I can tell you that. Well, let's talk about the deity of Christ. Luke chapter 2 and verse 33, Bible said this. The Bible said, your Bible said Joseph and his mother done something. Luke 2:33. That's a picture of Joseph, Mary, and the son Jesus, the boy Jesus. The NIV says his father and mother. You say, what's wrong with that? Joseph wasn't his father. That's what's wrong with it. The Bible, your Bible said Joseph and his mother. Why does it say that? Because God was his father. Joseph never touched Mary until after Jesus was born. You know what that is? That is a denial of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. I call me redneck, call me minority, call me, whatever you want to call me. I don't want a Bible that says Joseph was Jesus' father. Amen. Let's move another, get another right quick, because we got a bunch more stuff to go. You ain't no hurry, are you? Well, you will be out of here before 2 o'clock. Trinity. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, capital W, and the Holy Ghost. That's three. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Check that in your NIV. There are three in heaven, and these three agree. No Trinity in that verse. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 25. Daniel 3:25, it says Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked in the fiery furnace and somebody else come in there with them, and he said the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. In your King James Bible. The Son of God. Who's the Son of God? That's a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. That's Christ appearing in the Old Testament. He did that several times. And walked with Shadrach. You know what the NIV says? It said that fourth man is like a son of the gods. Many sons, many gods with a little G. Zeus. No telling what. No telling who. That's a denial of all them preachers for hundreds of years was wrong when they said that Jesus was in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. According to the NIV. Now, don't you get mad at me. If you're here this morning and you got that and you read it, don't you get mad at me. You've got to grow up sometime. It might as well be today. What I'm telling you is right. And God may have sent you here just to hear this morning. I don't know. Let me give you one more and we'll move on to some other stuff. Let me give you a lie. 2 Samuel 21:19. 2 Samuel 21:19. Your Bible says that Elhanan was a man in a war and killed the brother of Goliath, the giant, you know, that David killed, whose spear weighed so much, killed his brother. You know what the NIV says? It says Elhanan killed Goliath. 2 Samuel 21:19. Take that to your professor. Take that to your pastor. Take it. Why? You say, well, I showed my pastor and he said it was because that was in italics. Well, that's true. And the italics was right. I told you them boys were led. And it says his brother, and it even tells you who his brother was in 1 Chronicles 20 and verse 5, and gives you the name of his brother. That's a little bit much for somebody to swallow, so we'll move on. Let me tell you how the Bible is at least 2,000 years to 1,500 to 6,000 years ahead of science at any given time. The Bible said in Luke 17:30, the Bible said in the day that the Son of Man is revealed, in that day, verse 34, in that night, in verse 34, 31 that day, 34 that night, in Luke, in 65 A.D., it knew that it could be day, light, and dark at the same time. It said in that day, two verses later, in that night, when the Lord comes. That old book knew that. They didn't, nobody in that day and time, know that the world was round and it could be daylight here and dark somewhere else. You know when they found that out? They found that out till 16th century. When Magellan, them guys, remember in school, started sailing around the world, Science didn't know it. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 22 said, "It is He that sitteth on the circle of the earth." Your Bible said the earth was round before Einstein ever got off his baby formula. They didn't know it. Scientists didn't know it last 100 years, 200 years. But the Bible said, you say, well, the Bible teaches the earth's flat. It does not. It said it sits on the circle of the earth. You know who taught the earth was flat back in them days? Scientists. Amen. Every major scientist in the world back then taught the earth was flat. And if you went far enough, you'd fall off. And the Bible don't talk about the earth being flat. And the Bible don't talk... You know what the four corners of the earth is? It don't mean it's square. It means north, south, east, and west. Just like everybody talked about in the Navy, in the Army, in the newspaper, north, south, east, and west. Job 26 said he hung the earth on nothing. Do you know what they believed back in them days? The old Greek mythology and all that. They believed it was on the giant back turtle, big giant elephant. And they nobody had seen pictures from outer space like we do now. The old book said he hung the earth on nothing. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 7 said all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. What does that mean? And they return again. Nobody knew this till several hundred years ago, about 1,000 years ago. About condensation and evaporation. The sun evaporates water out of the ocean and it goes up and makes clouds. Then it floats over on top of the mountain and it rains down fresh water that we can drink. Comes out of the mountains, runs down in the pond, we can drink it. Then it runs right back down to Charlotte, Lake Norman, back out in the ocean, and it turns into salt water because there's so much salt out there. Then it evaporates again. And nobody knew that back then. But the book said this. Ecclesiastes 1:7, all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. How come it don't get deeper? They thither return again from the place where the rivers come from. Leviticus 15:13, he'll bathe his flesh in running water. Scientists didn't know that. All them years, they just wash their hands in a bowl of water. They didn't know about germs, and germs are got rid of by running water. The Bible said in the Old Testament for a man to wash his flesh in running water. And scientists didn't believe that until a few hundred years ago. Leviticus 17:11 said the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's the most scientific, accurate statement ever written about blood. That's in Leviticus, people. In the Old Testament. Before there ever was a Harvard, or a Yale, or a Princeton, or the UNC, or NC State, or Duke. They didn't know that. It is the blood that carries out all the life processes of the human body. It is the blood that grows, builds wall cells, and builds bone and fat, hair and muscle. It is the blood that supports the organ. I mean, tie it off right there and watch your arm. It'll rot and fall off. It's the blood that keeps you alive. And for years and years and years, they thought that disease was in the blood. And by the way, that's what killed George Washington. They kept trying to bleed him and bleed him. They'd cut you and bleed you. They thought that would get the disease out of you. And they killed him. They bled to death. And your book said the life of the flesh is in the blood. I know some of y'all are looking like I just crammed a T-bone steak down your throat. But chew faster. I'm getting there. Ingersoll held up a copy of this book right here. And old Ingersoll, he said, in 15 years, I'll have that book in the morgue. 15 years went by, Ingersoll was in the morgue, and the Bible was doing just fine. Old Voltaire said this. He said, in 100 years, the Bible will be an outmoded and forgotten book, only to be found in museums. When the 100 years were up, Voltaire's house was used by Geneva to put out copies of the Word of God. Hume said, he said, I think I see the end of Christianity, just like John Lennon said. And he said, the Auxiliary Bible Society of Edinburgh had their first meeting in the room that that old boy died in. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the blessed old book. It's a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It's heaven with no evil. It's hell with no end. All the sin in this world will culminate one day and we'll realize that the old book was true. Heaven, the Bible talks about heaven. It's a wonderful place. No famine, no sickness, no misery, no worry, no disease, no divorce, no desertion. You'll never have your heart broke. It all comes out of the book that told us all this other stuff 1,000 years ago. I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, believe what that book said. You'll come out all right every time. It's hell with no end. 53 times, as I said earlier, in the Bible. I wouldn't change it for nothing, and I wouldn't change for nothing. All the money in this world, dying without accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior. The Bible talks in Deuteronomy 32:22 about the lowest hell. There's degrees in hell. Psalm 55:15 said, let them go down quick into hell. Isaiah 5:14, hell hath enlarged itself. Isaiah 14:9, hell from beneath is moved to meet you at your coming. Hell is in the Bible 53 times. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you this morning, you better not walk out that door saying, I don't care what it says. I'll do what I want to. I close this morning. I've finished about two-thirds of this. That book right there, it's different from any book in the world. If you don't believe it, take it to work tomorrow. You ain't chicken, are you? Are you chicken? You are. I'd be ashamed. Big old grown man. You say, no, I'm not. Well, do it then. That's your best book. I mean, you read it during the day. Take it to work tomorrow. You say, well, you preacher, when I worked on a public job, I took my Bible and laid it right down there. Man, them guys got pictures of old scantily clad women on their workbench. They'd have Playboy books in there. I lay my Bible down and they go like this. They go like it's going to bite them or something like that. Take it in a restaurant. I take it in there and I put it on that little tray where you slide them down on them little pipes. If I'm by myself sometimes I'm traveling, and that girl goes, well, there's something different about that book, ain't there? You know why the devil don't want it in our schools? Because that's the most powerful book on earth. You ain't ashamed of it, are you? If you are, it's because you don't believe it. Or you're living in a way that dishonors the God that wrote it. It's the world's greatest book, y'all. We're going to answer for it one day. And to it. It's going to judge us. He said, the words that I speak unto you, the same shall judge you. In the last day, you're not going to be judged by Brother Danny or by somebody in your neighborhood. You're going to be judged by that book. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I preached this morning on the world's greatest book. You'll answer for this book. You'll answer for every Sunday you laid out of church and stayed home. Wasn't in church with your family. Men, you'll answer for it for not praying with your families. Ladies, you'll answer for it for laying around all day and wasting your life on a computer or on the TV and not doing something for God. Teenagers, you'll answer for it by just thinking, my life is mine. I'll do what I want to. It's the world's greatest book. I wouldn't change it if I was you. Don't take that chance. Nobody in Las Vegas will take that chance. That's a gamble, buddy. All the stuff I throwed at you this morning, they ain't never been one word of it proved wrong. Not one word. They've tried to. They took it to court several times. Nobody's ever won it. It's a blessed old book. Father, do what ought to be done in our hearts this morning. I pray in Jesus' name that you'd speak to every heart here today. Our heads are bowed this morning, eyes are closed. Why don't you just slip out of your seat? Some are. Some's already coming. Why don't you just come on down here this morning and say, Lord, I'm going to treat my Bible right from now on. I'm going to read it every day. I'm going to read it first. First, honor God and read your Bible before you read the newspaper or turn the TV on. Honor God. honor God. Honor the Lord. He'll bless you for it. Will you do it? Anybody else? Anybody else? Preacher? Have you read it? You say, well, I can't understand it. Well, you ain't never going to. Do you read it? Make up your mind you're going to read every word of it. It's a shame them people got burned to death so he'd have a Bible and you've never even read it. Read that thing every day. Teenagers, read it every day. You know who gave you your eyesight? The Lord did. You know who gave you a brain and you know have ability to read? God did. He can take it away too. Read your Bible. God, help us this morning. Bless these on the altar and these that need to be. Help us all, God, to reverence and respect and honor your word. We'll thank you and praise you for it. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Before we go this morning, amen. A couple things right quick.